Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Before I begin, I want to express how I was feeling before the shiur as I was deciding on a topic. Because certain times of the year, you know, you try to find topics relevant to what's going on, to Tekufa, the period of the year. We come to Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, the month of Cheshvan, it's very difficult to find something to speak about. So there are two ideas that are floating in my head. One idea was for all those living in Israel, we know it's election season. Now speaking about elections, but I really prefer when people walk out of a shir, they feel good about Yadus and Judaism, and I just felt it wouldn't happen, so I put that idea out of my mind. The second topic, which is much more relevant, I was thinking about it this year, I don't know if anyone else had the same feeling, but it was a wonderful month, Chodesh Tishrei, everything. And as Simchas Torah is ending, we can feel a little sad. At least I felt a little sad. I was talking to members of my synagogue, my shul, about it. It says, you know, and I said, it's not like I feel after Pesach, after Passover, after Shavuot. There's something about this month that was ending. You know, Chodesh Elul, the Slichot, the New Year, the Shofar, all Yom Kippur, the Atonement, Sukkot, the Lulav and Esro, there was something was going on, and realized that we really have, you know, during the month of Tishrei, we really have, I'd say, a very strong connection to God, and that's what we work on. We work on this very strong connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then all of a sudden, the month ends, and you know, we feel like bereft a little bit. That's one shirt, actually, that's why the last day of the holiday is Simchat Torah. Let us know we still have the Torah. I was thinking about it, what's really left? So obviously we have what we do every single day. And one of the things that we do every day is Psukei Dezimra. That when you come to the synagogue, you come to the shul, to the Beit Knesset, to Davin, to pray, before, after you say the blessings, the brachot. So you have to, and before you start to say Kriya Shema, the Shema, you have to say Psukei Dezimra, and I would say verses that praise God. And that's how it's literally translated. Not like Hallel, where you're saying whole chapters, even though you are saying whole chapters in the Psukei Dezimra, but there are also a collection of Psukim. For example, Hodu, Yehi Chavod, towards the end, and that's why the emphasis obviously is Psukei Dezimra. Even though there are full chapters, we are saying Psukim, just verses. That's how we refer to it. And I would like to speak about Psukei Dezimra, and I would just start off with one story that many years ago. So when the Kalbach Shul opened up in Ramat Beit Shemesh, okay. I'm a Litzbach, a Brisker. And someone was telling me, he says, you should come, it's so beautiful, we spent so much time davening Friday night. So I said to him, and what happened to Shabbos morning? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you think about it, Kabbalah Shabbat, those chapters are very nice, I say it, but that started maybe 200 years ago. I said, but Psukei Dezimra, that comes, as we'll see, actually comes from the days of the rabbis, from the Gemara. What happened? So he didn't have an answer. The answer is very simple. The answer is because the prayer Friday night lasts around an hour. On Shabbat morning it lasts a good 2 hours. If you start singing Psukei Dezimra, you know, you're going to have the whole place, you know, rebel. But the Bible of Psukei Dezimra is actually extremely important. It's extremely important to you know, who we are and how we connect our Baruch Hu to God. And therefore I'd like to discuss it. So we're not Psukei, and by the way, you should understand that there's actually discussion whether Psukei Dezimra, these verses we say, is that an enactment that came from the rabbis, or it came after the rabbis in the time of the Gaonim? Let's see. So where does it come from? So you look at source number one, it's the Gemara Masechet Shabbat. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Yehei Chelki Migomrei Halal V'Chol Yom. I would like to have a portion amongst those who say the Hallel, complete the Hallel, praises of God every single day. Okay? And that's referring to, obviously, Psukei Dezimra, as we'll see. So the Gemara asked Amy, is that true? It's good to say Hallel every single day. But Amar Mar, the master said, Hakore Hallel b'chol yom. Anyone who recites Hallel every day, Harezem Machare from Megadeth. He is blasphemizing God. So how can Rabbi Yossi say, I would like to praise God every day and say Hallel, when another interpretation said, saying Hallel every day is equal to blasphemy? So the Gemara says, the Talmud says, no. Saying the Hallel that we say on Sukkot, or the Hallel that we say on Rosh Chodesh, or the Hallel that we say on other holidays on Hanukkah, if we say it every day, that's blasphemy. But saying the Hallel of Suki de Zimra every single day, Kiko Amrina, Suki de Zimra, the verses of singing song to God, I'll translate that way, that's okay. So the question is, so we have to understand what is the difference between Hallel, we'll explain that very shortly, that we say on a special day, and Suki de Zimra that we say only on, that we say only on, we say every day. So first of all, what is Suki de Zimra? So Rashi, surprisingly, says Suki de Zimra, source number two, is the Shnei Mizmorim Shel Gilulim, the two last Hallelukas that we say in Suki de Zimra, Hallel Shemin Hashamayim, and Hallelukel de Kutsho. And by the way, if someone comes to Shul and he's late, and he has to catch up, and he can only say part of Suki de Zimra, so the halacha says, the law says, you start with Baruch She'amar, Ashrei Yishtabach, and if you have more time, you say these two chapters. So the question is, why these two chapters only? So if you look at those two chapters, these two chapters refer, I don't have a sitter in front of me, but refers to singing, to song. Okay, to song, to song. Now, and actually, I would just point out that if you look at Hallelukel B'Kutsho, I'll come back to this, so it says Hallelukel B'Zimor, Hallelukel B'Chinor, we mention all the instruments in this chapter. And the question is why? So the Magister Rebbe, I heard this once, I asked where it was, and it's quoted in his name. He says, you know, when it comes to praising God, we want to praise God so much. And sometimes we praise God, and we feel like we're still lacking, there's something missing. So we'll take this instrument and that instrument, and whatever way we can do, we want to praise God. So these are the chapters of praising, singing to God, and that's why it's called Suki de Zimra. The Ritva, in source number three, see, he says that he speaks about all the chapters at the end of Tehillim, and he says, if you look, the rabbis were metaking a bracha beforehand, and that's called Baruch She'amar, and the rabbis enacted a bracha afterwards, and that's called Yishtabach, and therefore it is forbidden to speak from the time you start Baruch She'amar until after Yishtabach. And he says, you shouldn't make the last bracha, but says he speaks, the rabbis definitely enacted this bracha. Okay, so there is, it is praiseworthy to say a certain type of praise to God every single day. Now, if we go on, we look at source number three, another Gemara, piece of the Talmud that is connected to this discussion of Suki de Zimra. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avina, Kol HaOmer Tilu LeDavid B'chol Yom. Anyone who says Tilu LeDavid, which is what? What is Tilu LeDavid? What? Tilu LeDavid. Ashrei. Shalosh Pamim, three times. Muftach Lo Shu Ben Al Mahava. He is promised that he is going to be, he will have a portion in the world to come. Now the question is, Now, the question is, first of all, I'll just point out that Rishonim had different gifts, actually. Some Rishonim say it's not three times, it's only one. Because really, the most important time to say Ashrei is when? So, look at this Zimra. Okay. He says, what's the reason? So, the Gemara explains because two reasons. One, number one, is because, except for the letter Nun, so Ashrei includes all the letters of the alphabet. And the second reason, this is the most important reason, is because in the Ashrei is written the words, Poteach et yadecha, Hashem opens his hands, it must be l'chol chai ratzon, he says, and therefore for that reason, we say Ashrei, and so recognize that, he will have a portion of Olam Haba. So the question is, what is this idea of Sukkah this Zimra. And I think this is a very important idea just to keep in mind when we say it every single day. And actually, Rabbeinu Yonah pointed out, he says, if there's a Meshech Chachma, he says like this, that let's say, for example, we say Hallel every day. We're looking, I want to praise God. So I say Hallel. What is Hallel about? Hallel is basically about praising God, that God does all these miracles. You know, the Jews left Egypt, you know, what happened in Egypt, what happened in Yamsuf, all these supernatural miracles. So if a person can only say Hallel, what's he saying? That all God can do is what? Supernatural miracles. When a person says Sukkah is Zimra, the person goes ahead and says, so therefore, if someone says it every day, he's saying the only greatness of God is supernatural miracles. But if someone says Sukkah is Zimra, these verses on a daily basis, he's saying there's so much more to God than supernatural miracles. There's the whole idea that God is really with us all the time. Everything that happens, God is taking care of us. And that's why Rav Yossi said, I want to have a portion of those who say this Hallel every day, that speak about things that happen on a daily basis, and not just speak about the supernatural miracles. And that's the idea when someone says Ashrei three times a day, once a day, and he says Poteach et Yadecha, that God goes ahead and he opens his hands. You know, so and he gives us what we need, and therefore we have our salaries, and we have our food, and we have our rent, or we find what we need. He's a Ben Olam Haba because he recognizes God in our daily lives, and that's very important. And that's what Sukkah Zimra is about. And we want to praise God in any way possible for every small thing that happens, and we have to recognize God for every small thing that happens. Now, based on this, there's a very beautiful idea in source number 5. So, and this I pointed out to those who started the Kalbach Minyan, never says you have to sing L'chun Ranima to a song. But in source number 5, the Shulchan Aruch says, this is based on a Chazal, the rabbis say, Mizmor L'toda, the Perek Mizmor L'toda, Yesh L'omra B'negina. When you say Mizmor L'toda in the morning, you say it in a song. I actually never heard anyone say it in a song. Why? Shekol Hashirot Asidot Libotel. Because all the songs in the future will become bottle. You won't have them anymore. What's the one song that we will still say in the future? That's Mizmor L'Toda. And the question is why? What is special? What is unique about Mizmor L'Toda? So, Mizmor L'Toda is the chapter, the song that we used to say at the Beit HaMikdash when someone would bring a Korban Toda. Why would someone bring a Korban Toda to the Beit HaMikdash, the temple? Why would he do that? The reason is very simple. Because it's actually mentioned, 4 reasons why. When someone was in a dangerous situation, and he came out of that situation, he would say that he would bring a Korban Toda. What is it? Either someone that was very sick, he was bedridden, and you know, today we say someone has a flu, but in those days when someone was bedridden all the time, so, you know, it was quite dangerous. You weren't sure if he'd come out of it. Or someone went ahead and crossed the desert, which wasn't simple in those days. Someone went ahead and crossed the ocean. You know, in the days of the rabbis, even a few hundred years ago, if you crossed the ocean in a boat, there was a good chance you would be taken by pirates. So if you actually arrived home, you should bring a korban, sacrifice to thank God. And the last one is someone goes ahead and ends up in jail, comes out of jail, he also has to bring. That today in certain jails, by the way, not in this country, certain jails probably also, because some jails are actually quite dangerous. What is Mizmor L'Toda? Mizmor L'Toda is a song that you sing because something happened that maybe was not even miraculous. I recovered. No, I crossed the ocean. You're not going to say, you know, an old miracle happened. So why is it that all the songs will become bottle, seas will not exist except for this? Because what does God want? Do you think God wants, people say, why doesn't God perform miracles anymore? But God wants us to be impressed with him because he split the sea. God wants us to be impressed with him because he caused hail to come down on our enemies. God wants us to see him in everyday life. Mm-hmm. And that's what Olam Haba is, and that's what the days of the Mashiach, the Messiah are. And therefore, in the future, that's the song we're going to sing. And for that reason, we have to say it in the song because we should be happy that we can recognize God
every day, every time something happens. I want to see a miracle. There's a miracle right there. As a matter of fact, the point of the miracle, the point we speak about the mom, the point that we speak about living in Mitzrayim, is to see God in everyday life. Someone said to me last year I was at various places I went where you saw the beauty of God's creation. And he said to me, why don't you see the beauty of God's creation in the plant? And you know what, he's right. And he said to me, yeah, but sometimes you need a reminder of something bigger to see God's beauty everywhere. And that's really the idea, that we have to see God, how God takes care of us in every way. And that is, these are the verses of Psukei Nezimra. And that's why, as Rabbeinu Yonah says, you should say it every single day. Why should you say it every single day? Say it every single day because you want to show how God connects in a hidden way, every single way. And a person can find it. You know, sometimes, you know, a certain business deal doesn't work out, another deal does work out. Always, everything works out. And you have to find, and that these are the verses, so it's in that you can find God no matter what you do. Now, if you go ahead and look at source number 6, and the Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillah, the Shikhu Chachamim, the Misha Koreis Miroch Mesefer Tehillim B'chol Yom. And the Chachamim, the rabbis, pray somebody who would say the songs of Tehillim every day, Mithila David at Sofa Sefer. Ukvar Nagu, and the custom is, Likros Psukim, Lifneyem, Lachreyem, to recite Psukim before the Psukim is Zimra and afterwards. The Tiknu Brachos of Neyaz Miros, and they were Metake, Brachos before the Zmiros. Mehi Baruch Sho'amar, or Brachos Lachreyem, and that's Baruch Sho'amar, and a blessing afterwards, this is Yishtabach. And then you do Kriya Shema, and you recite Kriya Shema, and you recite the Shema. Now, so let me speak about, well, before I let me skip right now number 7, and I want to go to number 8 and 9, and number 10, and then we'll just discuss one practical aspect of Psukei Nezimra, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss Psukei Nezimra itself, the idea behind it. So, what happens if somebody comes late to shul? Okay? And the most important part of the shul is obviously davening Shmon Esrei with the tzibur, to daven Dav Midah. And you come late, and you know that if you're going to come late, if you're going to stay Psukei Nezimra, you're going to miss Tefillah B'Tzibur. So what do you do? So if you look at source number 8, the Torah says, the Imbala Beit HaKnesset, someone comes to the synagogue, Umatsa Tzibur, and he finds the congregation, the Sof Psukei Nezimra, Al Zeh Shalul Rav Mutroni, they ask where Mutroni go. They asked him, Mahush Yispali Matzibur. Can a person daven with the Tzibur and say Psukei Nezimra afterwards? Okay, so what does he say? He says no, because if someone skips Psukei Nezimra, you can't say it afterwards, because Psukei Nezimra is a takana, an enactment to say before Shmon Esrei, before you pray. Ella, what should you do? Omer Baruch Sha'amar Amol Tishbachos. You should say Baruch Sha'amar until Mulot Tishbachos. But Omer Til Ledavid, and say Ashrei, Umedaleg, and skip until the last Chaluk, Chaluk El B'Kadsho, which speaks, as we said, about praising God, you know, any way you can. But Omer Kol Neshama, and then say Yishtabach. And then quickly hurry up and do what? And David, what? Join the Tzibur. He says, hurry up, that's what you should do. I guess Mizmor Soda you should say, but it's not the most important part of Asher is the most important part. He says, as a matter, he says, now, Umayyar, and I'll just mention to you, by the way, that my father told me, just parenthetically, you should know, that when I was, when I would come late on Shabbos and Shabbat, he would say the same thing. Shabbat is different. You would say Baruch Sha'amar. You would say Ashrei. And Nishmas. Because Nishmas is part of the Baruch Yishtabach. And he also said to me, you have to say Nizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. Okay? Why? Because you have to say on Shabbos, the Psukei Nezimra, a Shabbos Psukei Nezimra. Okay? Now, if I remember correctly, he also implied on Yom Tov you say the same thing. But why is Mizmor Shir relevant to Yom Tov? Because Yom Tov is also Shabbat. As a matter of fact, as we say that on Chol HaMoed, on Hashanah Rabbah, we say Mizmor Shir in the Tzuket HaZimra also, because it's like a Yom Tov. All right, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch disagrees. He says you shouldn't say Mizmor Shir. You don't have to put in Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos on Yom Tov. Okay, but Mizmor Shir is an important part. Let's go on. Then he says, if you didn't say it before Daf, before Shmon Esrei, you should not say it after the prayer at all. And then he goes on and he quotes his father, the Rosh. So according to Matroni Gon, he says, you come late to shul, say a little bit. Okay, don't skip it. And he says, and then hurry up during Birchas Kriya Shema to catch up. He says, and then he quotes the Rosh, and he says, the Rosh quotes Rav Amram, and he says, and the Rabbin says the same thing, that say Baruch Shamar Ashrei Yishtabach, and then Rav Yonah says, then what should you do? He says, no. Rav Yonah says, you know what you should do? You should skip Baruch Shamar. He says, Rav Yonah says, you should skip it all. He says, and then after Shmon Esrei, say Pesukim HaZimra. So most of the Gaonim hold Pesukim HaZimra is only before Shmon Esrei. Rav Yonah says, Tefillah with the Tzibur is so important, praying with the Tzibur is so important. What you should do is you should say this, skip the Pesukim HaZimra and say it after Shmon Esrei. Now, we paskin. So how do we paskin? So if you look at how do we hold? So you look at source number 10. Bin kfar yischilu, the Shulchan Aruch Simen Nundays. Bin kfar yischilu at Tzibur Yotzer. If the Tzibur already started Yotzer or the Birchat Kriyishma, the Ein Shot Lomar Pesukim HaZimra Fil Vadiluk, and there's no time to say Fil the Tzibur even by skipping something. Yikra Kriyashma Berchasach and Metzibur, you should recite Kriyashma of its brachot with the Tzibur, the Spalal Imohem, and Davin with them, the Akrakach Yikra Kopstuk of the Zimra. And then afterwards, do the whole Stuk of the Zimra, skip Stuk of the Zimra before Davening, do it then to Davin with Tzibur. After Davening, you should go ahead and recite the whole Stuk of the Zimra without the brachot, because the brachot cannot be said after Shmon Esrei. So basically what he's doing is, he's going like Neutroni Gong to say the Pesukim HaZimra afterwards. However, like Rabbi Yonah, who says you don't make the brachot. And that's the Pesach Lashukot. Shulchan Aruch is quite clear. And I walk into so late, I should go ahead and I should skip Pesukim HaZimra. Okay? My father did not feel that way. And he felt very strongly, like the Mishkanos Yaakov, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes, by the way, on the other side of the page. The Mishkanos Yaakov, another side of the page. I cut and pasted. I think it's Simon Samach Gimel, I forgot. But he basically has an issue with the Shulchan Aruch. And why does he have an issue with the Shulchan Aruch? So I'll paraphrase. He says, like, I don't understand, he says. If you're not going to say the brachos, the Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach, how do we let Chachila go ahead and skip those brachos because of the Levit Tzibur? He says, yes, the Levit Tzibur is so important. But making these brachos is the Kanam Chazal. And to go ahead and say that these brachot came from the time of the Gaonim, he says, he doesn't feel that that's correct. The brachot, the blessings came from the time of Chazal. So if you go and look, and I'll just paraphrase, I'll go through it, it's three parts. He quotes the Pri Chadash, that he asks the question, then how do we say Baruch Sha'amar? Because it makes it sound like Baruch Sha'amar, it's not mentioned in the Gemara, it must have been created after the time of Chazal. So he says, the Pri Chadash asks, how can the Gaonim create a new bracha, a new blessing? And then the Rosh, when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, asks, how can we have a new bracha, a new blessing? And when it comes to this, he doesn't say that. He says, so the bottom line is like this. The Mishnah Yaakov says, I don't understand this question. If you ask me, it's quite clear that Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach were blessings that were around in the time of Chazal. All right, why? So he brings a few proofs, and I think it's important to go through the proofs to understand how special this bracha is. So number one, he says, there's halakha, you know, when the Jews went to war, and it wasn't a Mohammed mitzvah, so they would make an announcement, whoever did a certain Avera should go home. Why should they go home? Because they were afraid that what? That's it. What was one of the Averas, if you think about it? If someone talks between the bracha of Yishtabach and Yotzer Or, right? He says, Hasach, he says, Hasach ben Yishtabach liyotzer or. It's Yerushalmi. So that means the bracha of Yishtabach was around the days of Yerushalmi. Then he goes on and he says like this. He quotes the Zohar. And the Zohar in Parshas Truma says that basically this Ashik Neset HaGdolah, the body that made the laws beginning in the Second Temple era, right? So they were metaken. They enacted this bracha, right? And these brachot that we say Baruch Shem Yishtabach, they help the world continue to exist. And then he goes on. And this I think is very famous. That why would Ashkenaz Gadola the Sefer Yecholas quoted by the tour, that why did Ashkenaz Gadola go ahead and enact this bracha of Baruch Sha'amar? So a letter came down from heaven, all right, and the letter said, had the letters of had the bracha of Baruch Sha'amar. As a matter of fact, I once one of my uncles, my mother's brothers, told me that he knows there's a difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim say Baruch Sha'amar and then Hodu, and Sephardim say Hodu and then Baruch Sha'amar. And what's the machlokes? The machlokes was what was written in this letter. Ashkenazim hold the letter said say Baruch Sha'amar and Hodu after Baruch Sha'amar. And Sephardim said no, the letter said say Hodu and Baruch Sha'amar will be after Hodu. Okay, but there's such a source that a letter came down from Shemayim, whatever that means. And then he goes on. He says like this. So why would someone say?
I think the letter
says. I think it said the letter. How many words you should have in Baruch Sha'amar and say Baruch Sha'amar. Yeah.
Nothing to do with where Hodu
comes. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I assume not. Nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. No. But that's just a joke that I guess they used to say in Europe. It was one of the jokes. No, that was one of the European jokes before the war. Okay. Please, I apologize. Now he's like this. So he says, Yossi said, my chelik should be with those who say Hallel every day, which implies not everyone said it. Yeah. Not everyone does what they're supposed to do. Right? So for example, one of me has said, my chelik should be with those who eat three meals of Shabbat. Eating three meals of Shabbat is an obligation. Yeah? So he said, not everyone does it. He says, and therefore for that reason, and he says, and the whole idea of Sukkot Zimmer, how important it is, and even the Rambam would hold that way. Why? Because the Rambam, when he enumerates the 100 blessings a man says every day, he mentions Baruch Shem Yishtabach, and then he adds in, and later on, the rabbis enacted a new bracha of Lamoshinim, which seems to imply that the bracha of Lamoshinim came after the bracha of Baruch Shem Yishtabach. And therefore, the Mishnah Yaakov says that a person who comes late to shul should definitely go ahead and say at least Baruch Shama Ashrei Yishtabach, and should not skip that because that's extremely, extremely important. And yes, even to miss a few of the tzibur for the Sukkot Zimmer. Okay, so I think that was important to say. Now, so let's try to understand what Sukkot Zimmer is all about. Before I discuss the second part of Sukkot Zimmer, I mentioned before that what's Sukkot Zimmer about? Sukkot Zimmer is about not the open miracles, but to show how God connects to us every day. And God is doing things for us every day. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us all the time. And to see God in your life every single day. So I forgot to mention, I think this is a very important story that happened to me, which makes it important, that one year, because it really had a profound impact on my life, this story. One year, I was sitting at at my parents' Seder. I was single. I must have been 17. Maybe 16 years old, and you know, I think it was, you know, my brothers lived in Chicago, so my brothers would come for one Seder, and they would stay home for the second Seder. So I was sitting next to one of my brothers at the Seder, as a young kid, you think he knows everything, sitting next to my brother, one of my brothers, and I turned to him after we drank in the second cup, and I said, you know, the bracha of Gal Yisrael, where we talk about God redeemed us from Egypt, and he'll redeem us again, and he'll lead from the sacrifices. It's the most beautiful bracha we make throughout the year. I said, it's just a beautiful bracha. I think he nodded. And my father, who I wasn't talking to, was sitting next to me. And I said to my father, my brother says to me, you're wrong. He says, it's not the most beautiful bracha you make in the year. The most beautiful bracha you make in the year is the bracha of Asher Yatzar. Asher Yatzar. And he started to give me a shir, which unfortunately I forgot, about the beauty of the bracha of Asher Yatzar, and it's a shir that was based on science. And he said, you see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done? how God has created the body, how it works, and everything fits in, and in this coordination. He says, this is really beautiful because you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu every time you walk, you go to the washroom, how He keeps you healthy. And then he says to me, do you know why you think that Gaul Yisrael is the Masul of Bracha in the year? I looked at that and I'm sorry, because you say the Bracha only twice a year. Actually, you ask how many times a day you say, alright, I'm going to have one talk about that. Alright? But if you said it twice a year or 10 times a year, you think it's beautiful too. Because what's the bracha of Asher Yatzar? Asher Yatzar is a bracha where you see all the time how HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects to take care of you. And we're really supposed to have a lot of kavan Asher Yatzar. Unfortunately, we don't. But it's really very important. Because and that's what we're supposed to do. You know, once the Chagim are over, where do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? All over the place. Just look at the Zimra, Asher Yatzar, the brachos. It's very important. So that's one idea of Sukkot Zimra, how to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, one more idea, and I think this will put things into place for Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. If you look at and why it's called Sukkot Zimra and not Parshios Zimra, if you go ahead and you look at the Rambam, let's look at the Rambam in source number 7. So the Rambam is discussing how the Tzibur goes ahead and how the Tzibur would go ahead and daven. How do you daven the Tzibur? So if you were to ask me, I would daven the Tzibur, I would say, let's say in Chutz La'aretz, what happened in Chutz La'aretz, and maybe some shul here in Eretz Yisrael, someone gets up, says the Birchas HaShachar, people answer Amen, you say Korbanot, skip some, don't skip some, I don't know, you say Rabbi Shmuel, and I think in most shuls that I davened at, there's a chash, which is a Tzibur. And then Yishtabach, someone else comes up. The Rambam, source number 7, he says like this. Seder Tfilas HaTzibur, the way that Tzibur davens, kachu. This is the Seder. V'shachar, in the morning, kol ha'am yoshvim, the whole nation sits, u'shliach Tzibur yov ne'ateva. And the Shliach Tzibur goes before the Ark. V'omeg be'emso ha'am, and he stands in the middle, umaschil v'omer kaddish. So according to the Rambam, the Shliach Tzibur does not start from Birchas HaShachar, does not start from Baruch Sho'amar, he gets that start from Yishtabach. He starts from kaddish, v'chol ha'am o'anim amen yeheshmei rab, v'baruch l'amaya, v'chol kochan, everyone answers amen yeheshmei rabba, and they say amen after kaddish, then they say baruchu, everyone answers baruch Hashem, baruch l'am bo'ed, and then they say shema. So the question is, how is it that the Rambam does not mention at all the idea of Sukkot Zimra? And the Rambam, as we said, he actually mentioned Sukkot Zimra. The Rambam says, in source number 6, we saw this before, in Hilchas Tevila, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Bet, that the Chum and Praise almost says the Mir Sefer Tehillim. So why does the Rambam totally ignore the whole idea of saying Sukkot Zimra when it comes to davening the Tzibur? Like Sukkot Zimra is really not part of Sukkot Zimra. Sukkot Zimra is not part of the Tefillah of the Tzibur, the communal prayer. It just happens that we say the communal prayer together, but we say the Sukkot Zimra together, but really everyone is acting like individuals. So my uncle, Rav Yoshe Bir Soloveitchik, Rav Joseph Soloveitchik, he said that we face a dilemma. What's the dilemma? The dilemma is that, you know, when we decide that we want to praise God. Question is, we can ask ourselves, you know, who do we think we are to praise God? After all, we might do something wrong. The famous Gemara, that, you know, in Shmon Esrei, so we say, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Bahanoro. We praise God in that respect. And Chazal raised the question, the rabbi raised the question, how can we say that? Because if that's all we're saying, we're sort of cutting God short. That's all you can say about God. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Nora, there's nothing else to say. Once you start praising God, right, keep going. And the Gemara tells a story that once, I believe it was Rav Hamnuna, so a Chazan got up in front of Rav Hamnuna, and he started saying, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Nora, Hatzadik, Hakadosh, and kept going and going and going. Number of words. And after he finished, Rav Hamnuna says to him, so you finished? Like, understand. You stop praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, what happened? You can't find more to say? And
fellow said,
I don't know, what do you mean? He said, I want to tell you something, he says. We really shouldn't even say Hakel Agibor Banorah, because it's sort of cutting God short. But since it's in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu did it, so we follow. But to go in and say more, so my uncle explained that we have a dilemma, because you look at source number 11, source number 11, Torah says in Perek Kuf Lamedei, the Tillim, Halu, Haluka, Halu Hashem Hashem, Haluku Avdei Hashem, Shoveit Hashem B'chafet Beis Elokeinu, Haluka Kitov Hashem, Zarmu Lishmo Kinoyim. Praise Him, praise God, the servants of Hashem should praise God, because they stand in the house of Hashem, and He's praising it's good. We saw before also the idea of using every instrument. On the other hand, in Parakavav, it says, Mi Malel Gevurot Hashem, who can verbalize the Gevura, the power of God? Yashmir Kol Tilosa. So once they start saying praises, I could be accused or indicted for not saying enough. So what do? My uncle pointed out what we do is we go ahead and we praise God. We praise God in the way to show, we praise God in the way to other parts of our life. What does that mean? There's a mitzvah of challah. And you know, the mitzvah of challah, the mitzvah of challah actually, let's say for example, is of course a simcha, happiness. She says, Sukkot is Zimra, is learning Torah. That's what it is. And that's why it's called Sukkot. We're learning Torah. And through learning Torah, we go ahead and we praise God. In other words, when we go ahead and we do what Hashem wants us to do, we are really praising HaKadosh Baruch. So, the Chacham said, you want to praise God and not be accused of cutting God short? Well, do it in a way where it's not just praising. Do it in a way where you're doing something else. And when you know, when you say Hallel, that's chapters. When you learn, you can even learn a pasuk, even one verse. So, the Pesukah de Zimra is learning Torah, and through the learning, what you're doing is, you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In many ways, so that's really what it means to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything that we do. For example, when we keep Shabbat, we're praising God because God created the world in 6 days. Right? And many things that we do. My father used to say, I looked to find the source for this. I spoke to people. My father said it. He used to always quote the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, says that he says there are three types of songs. There's a song that has words. Okay? We know those songs. There's a song, a nigga used to say, it doesn't have words. We know a lot of those songs also. Then he used to say that there is a song that doesn't have a tune. And not that the person can't sing, plenty of those people around, but the song itself doesn't have a tune. A niggun used to say, a tune without a tune. And what does that mean? Because every time we do something, what we are doing is, we are singing a song to God. Just like the animals, when they do what they're supposed to do, they're singing the song to Kadosh Baruch Hu, also Shira. When we do our mitzvahs, when we learn Torah, we're singing the song to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that reality is Sukkot is Zimra. We do it through Libra Torah. So therefore, again today, we're told to say our brachos, and then we come to Shul, and our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Chachamim, the rabbis, enacted. You want to connect to God? Well, when you do other things, connect to God. So you're going to learn Torah, and through learning Torah, you're going to learn Torah in a way which actually sings like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's Sukkim, because when it comes to learning, even when you learn one verse, that's also considered learning Torah. Now, you know, we're about to hit the Parshiot, the Sedrot of our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Mitz Hashem. Well, this week, we'll hear about the flood. We'll meet Avraham Avinu this Shabbos, okay, as he's leaving Ur Kasdim. And then we'll see Avraham Avinu next week going to Eretz Yisrael. And I don't have the exact expression of the pasuk, but he gets to Eretz Yisrael, he builds a mezbeach, but Yikra B'Shem Hashem, he calls out in the name of Hashem. He says, you know people, God exists. And then we'll see Yitzchak also calls out in the name of God. God exists. Everyone can hear. And Rambam says, curiously, we don't see that by Yaakov Avinu, by our forefather Yaakov. He says, why? Because Yaakov Avinu had a family. And the family did not have to call out in the name of God. Because when they did something, that already showed what God was. And that's what we do. When I was, after my father had the stroke, probably the biggest Kiddush Hashem I ever made. My father had the stroke. So I would, he was commuting every week to New York, a year after he had the stroke. Yeah, it was a year. 2 years. And, it was a few years actually. You know, became a little bit older now. It was a few years afterward. It was 3 years. And many times, especially in the beginning, I would go with him to help the commute. And then he picked it up on his own. And I remember one time, we were flying, in the first year, so we were still trying to figure it out. So sometimes we didn't get the right flight, we had to scramble. So one time we took, in those days, it was an airline called Midway Airlines. I don't remember Midway Airlines, okay? It left Midway Airport, okay? Which for us was crazy because I don't remember, I think the Dan Ryan was a long ride to Midway Airport. And I remember about Midway Airlines, it was actually cool, it was the only time I ever flew out of Midway. So in those days, how did anyone fly out of Midway? So, and in those days, the Midway Airlines was more for business, and it was a long plane. And my father had the front seat bulkhead, and there was one flight, the washroom was all the way in the back. So flight took off, seatbelt sign went on, my father says to me, I want to go to the washroom. It's fine. Father got up, had his cane, I think, I'm not even sure, he had a cane, and I walked behind him, opened the door, closed the door, he locked it, and I stood there waiting for him, you know. It was the days of war phones, so I'm not sure what I did. And I was thinking about nothing. And two stewardesses, it was an empty flight, woke up to me, and they say to me, is that your granddaddy? They're not Jewish, right? I said, no, it's actually my father. They said, that's your father? I said, wow, that's amazing. He says, my kids would never do that for me. So I spoke to them about I actually mentioned, well, you know, we, in our Torah, we believe that taking care of our elders is very important. They're our role models. And I said, the truth is, all my parents want from me is to take care of my children. And the lady says to me, wow, she says to me, I have goose pimples. I think I said something before, I'm not sure, right? But I'm saying this, when we do something, we're singing to God. We're singing God's praises because everyone knows it's because of the Torah. And that's what took it to the verses. You're learning Torah and through learning the verses, you're singing praises. Otherwise, you have a problem. And that's the idea that we come and say, well, what do we do now? We have no sukkah. We have no lulav. We have no Yom Kippur. We have no shofar, no slichot. It's regular davening. We said hurachim today, right? Long davening. It wasn't because of halak. It says, whatever you do, you can connect to God. I'll just finish off speaking about the Baal HaTanya. There's a very famous machlokes between the Baal HaTanya and Reb Chaim Volozhiner. And we're supposed to learn Torah Lishma. For learning Torah itself. What does it mean to learn Torah for the sake of Torah itself? What does that mean? Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, learn Torah just to know Torah. The Baal HaTanya says, you learn Torah to go ahead and to develop closest to God. I'm not making a decision here what we're supposed to do. However, if you look at the Rambam seems to imply like the Baal HaTanya. Why? Ha'oved me'ava. If someone serves, source number 13, Hilchos Teshuvah Perek Yud Halacha Bet. If someone serves Hashem, God Almighty, with love, Oseh v'tov mitzvot, and is involved in Torah and mitzvot, v'holech v'nesivot ha'chochma, and goes in the ways of wisdom, the path of wisdom, lo mitnei davar v'olam, not because of anything in the world, lo mitnei yirat hara'a, not because he's afraid of evil, v'lo k'dei liyarash ha'tova, and not because he wants to inherit in the next world, you know, all the benefits of Gan Eden, the paradise. He says, elo osta emes niteshu emes. He says, he does the truth with the truth. The sof hatova lola biglola. And good will come because of it. Umala zeh, himala gdola ma'od is the great level of ein kol chacham zochela, and not every wise person can be commerited. The imalas avim avinu, he says, because it's the level of avim avinu, shakoro kodesh baruch hu ovo, lefi shalo avad ela me'ava. We have to be like Avram, to serve Hashem, everything we do, to love, to connect. Yamala Shachar Baruch Hu Adei Moshe V'haftet Hashem Elokecha V'zman Shiyel V'adam Es Hashem Ava Ruya Miyad Yaseh Kol Mitzvos Miyava. When a person loves Hashem, so immediately he will do all the mitzvos of love. And what's the idea? The idea is that, yes, we have to serve Hashem. Everything we do has to do to connect. And sometimes it's hard. We want to praise God to connect. How do you do it? So he says, you know what? Learn. You know why the Rambam does not mention Sukkah de Zimra and Tefillah Bet Zibur? Because it's not Tefillah Bet Zibur. It's learning that we're doing. Because if we're going to just praise God, we might be cutting God short. We're learning. And through the learning, and that's why it's important to listen to what we're saying, because we're learning about God. And once we do that, so then we can really appreciate who God is, and then we're not going to be accused of cutting God short. And that's why it's called Psukei de Zimra, not Parshios de Zimra, Psukei. Learning. And the lesson that we learn from this, as I said, is that we come to a time, right now we're wondering, okay, what do we do? How do we connect? We're missing all those mitzvot. And the answer is, everything that we do helps us connect. Learning Torah. Because everything you do is praising God. And that's the message. Look at this image. Before davening, before you do anything, we're told and we're instructed that I want to go ahead and connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu and praise Him and feel the divinity in everything that I do, because everything is a mitzvah. And maybe when Rabbi Yossi said at the very beginning, what does that mean? My portion should be those who finish halal every day. What's the big deal? We all say Pesukim Zimra every day. The idea is not just Pesukim Zimra, but to feel that everything I do, I'm connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we realize that every mitzvah we do, every Kiddush Hashem we make, we're actually connecting in a certain way. And therefore, the whole year we can actually feel what we're supposed to feel during the month when there are so many mitzvot. But we're not left about anything. We have the Torah, we have the mitzvot, we have the davening, and that's how we praise our Kadosh Baruch Hu. A wonderful Shabbos.